Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 767. This episode is brought to you. Let's go to the Nerdist Community Cork Board. All right, this one's pretty incestuous. Not literally, sort of, I suppose. But Kyle Clark, Laughing Kyle, our very own Nerdist Podcast walk-around Muppet, is recording his next comedy album Friday, December 4th, which is the day this is going up at 9 p.m. at Nerdmelt. Tickets and info can be found at nerdmeltla.com. Go support Kyle. He's super funny. You heard him on the stand-up cluster, and he's now doing a full album. So support, support, support. Also, Matt Myra and Kevin Smith are doing a live show of their podcast Talk Salad and Scrambled Eggs this Saturday, December 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Ice House in Pasadena. Go to csmod.com. That's seesmod.com for tickets and info. Matt Myra and Kevin Smith. Oh, my God. That's what are they not using that? They really, Matt, if you're listening, you should absolutely use this. Who am I kidding? Matt doesn't listen to this podcast. He's too busy making podcasts. This episode is Alison Tolman, if you don't recognize her by name, when you see her, go, oh my God, her, she's amazing. Alison is in a bunch of stuff that you love that is relevant to your interests as well. So she's been in Fargo, she's been in a bunch of, but she's in Krampus right now. Krampus is a movie with Adam Scott, Toni Collette. It's kind of a Christmas horror movie, but it's sort of in the vein of Gremlins, you know? Like, it's, yeah, I think it's time. I think it's time for another one of those. So Krampus is in theaters now. That is this Friday. It is in theaters now, and you should absolutely go see it and enjoy. Alison Tolman, comedy background, sketch comedy, improv background, and fucking hilarious. So we're very happy and lucky to get her. And show your support for the Nerdist Podcast, which is episode number 767, with the amazing Alison Tolman. Katie, start the thing. Start the thing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
How's it going?
Really good.
Good.
I want you guys to know that I am aware that this is audio only and I look so beautiful because I'm doing press for something else today.
You don't have to explain that you decided to dress up because you were very excited to be on the podcast.
I was going to wear my pajamas.
We were positive you were just being a lady.
She's a lady.
I'm a lady from the South. I know how to act right.
We have sweet tea. Hang on.
Y'all want some sweet tea? You gonna want some sweet tea for you?
Welcome.
Thank you
for being here, Alison Tolman.
Thank you for having me.
What's going on? What other press are you doing today? What's a Krampus press day look like?
Dude, this is my first junket.
This isn't really a junket at all. Oh, this is your first junket?
This.
Going to the thing that she dressed up for, which is not us.
I'm gonna dress up for you guys. I'm super confused about what we're doing here.
What if we had a podcast dress code?
Do you know what the Krampus is? Allison, what is it?
You're doing so well. That's how my entire morning has gone. It's such a weird
What's your worst Christmas?
Yes! You guys are great at this.
Yeah.
Do you know what is really interesting, though, is I was in Austria a few months ago,
mm-hmm.
and Krampus is
super popular over there.
Yeah.
Like, we went to a Christmas museum in Salzburg.
Mm-hmm. As you do.
And next to Santa was fucking Devil Santa.
Yep.
And it was...
That's our guy.
There's a yin and a yang to everything, Chris.
That's right.
One of our actresses in the movie who plays the grandmother, Omi, is Austrian. And she flew in for the premiere last night, and we didn't know she was coming. And she brought, like, all this Krampus gear, like Krampus masks and Krampus cookies and all this, like, because they have that there. It's, like, part of, like, Christmas merchandising there.
She had to check that stuff. That's really, that's a big effort.
Yeah.
That's before, does it really help kids behave better knowing that a demon is going to...
Don't worry, it's just a phone.
Do you know many German...
Krampus strikes again!
Oh, boy.
The screen's okay, though.
No, it's cracked a long time ago.
Yeah, it's already God, broken.
Krampus gave you a warning this time. Next time he's coming back to crack your... Did your phone drop on the ground?
Yeah, it's probably because I married a Jew.
You just...
Sorry,
so
Krampus.
I like how you also just have left the phone there.
What am I going to do with it? I don't need it right now. Right.
You know what?
And he was trying to do the cool move, like when you're in the lunchroom and you trip or you drop something and you're like, I don't need that right now. But in your brain, you're like, I need to pick that up. I really got to pick that up. How am I going to get that?
It broke at a Titanic slot machine.
Let me see it. Let me see if it broke further.
I mean, it's all, there's a piece missing. It's cool.
I've only broken my phone screen once, and I broke it, like, it didn't crack. Uh-huh. It just fell smack down on its face.
Yep.
And then never worked again. Turned on again, never did anything again. But it was just the screen.
Why are you throwing temper tantrums where you hurl your phone to the ground?
I'm just, like, kind of bitchy. So, I was mad about something. Somebody did.
I'm a personal Krampus. It sounds like a job. You could...
Personal
Krampus. I'm a PK. I'm a personal Krampus.
Yeah, like if your kids are out of line.
You could hire a personal Krampus.
Come
fuck with your kid.
If you're not German and he doesn't come to your country.
I mean, he's duty-bound to show up at Christmas time, but you can hire a Krampus throughout
anytime
the year. Yeah,
I mean, he's got
a lot of people don't know.
He's got 11 months where he's doing nothing.
He's got a lot of free time.
Yeah, he's not like Santa Claus, at least making toys.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He basically Krampus just comes in and destroys things like the internet.
He's like sharpening sticks and things to like smack you.
He's
with.
Like, if Santa is a web page, Krampus is the comment thread.
He just, the worst.
He just destroys everything.
The worst. Don't read the comments.
You are so unbelievably funny, and you've been in so many wonderful comedy things.
Thank you.
But I don't know, what is your original comedy background?
I grew up doing theater, and my degree is in theater, and then I...
could you submit your transcripts to us? Whenever anyone says they have a degree, we like to see the transcripts.
I have a BFA in fine arts from Baylor University.
Big fucking art degree.
It's serving me really well. I did theater forever, and then I went to Chicago in 2009 to study at Second City.
So there you
go. Yes, that was my comedy training. Before that, I was just doing comedy badly, and then I actually like learned how to do it.
What was the jump from doing, because obviously I'm sure you must have grazed comedy and theater.
Yeah.
So what was the jump? What was it at Second City that kind of focused you and what changed?
Well, I did improv in high school and college and after like bar prov in my early 20s and stuff like that. Poorly, very poorly. We were not great. So I feel like Second City made me into a sketch writer. Because it's ultimately like an improv to sketch program. So that sort of is how I fell in love with sketch and actually decided I want to do sketch more than improv, which I did.
Yeah, it's a whole different skill set.
I know.
It's such a ridiculously different skill set.
It's so different. And I can, like, I'm serviceable at improv. I can do it. I'm great at following along. Like, if you need someone who can keep up, I can keep up, but I'm not great at driving. But sketch writing, I just prefer because I like to, like, I'm enough of a control freak where I want to be able to sit down and be like, here's where that laugh is going to be. I know, because I wrote it, you know, like the not knowing.
Hold for laughter.
Yeah, this, boom, brackets. But yeah, like the not knowing of improv didn't suit me. Because when it's good, it's so good. But when it's bad, it's real bad.
So bad.
And you feel that when you're doing it. You're like, this is not going well.
Well, that's why it helps to have, that's why when you see a really great improv team, I mean, it is that bit of magic where it's like, yes, they are making it up on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
However, it takes a lot of work to get to the point where they all understand each other and they understand how to work as a team.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as instantaneous always as people might think. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
You know, you are coming up with the concept in a moment.
Yeah.
But when you know how your team works.
It is. Yeah. I mean, and to see, I mean, and there's so much improv in Chicago. There's so much comedy in Chicago. And to see people who are really, really fantastic at it is just kind of otherworldly. And I also, I don't do things that I'm not good at. So, like, if I can't, like, be, like, really excellent at it, then I'm kind of like, I really would rather focus my attention somewhere else.
Boy,
so,
I'd live that way. I'd just be in a fetal position.
I'm just, it's not a great trait,
the thing
actually.
I'm good at.
I want to go through the, I want to go through the campus crest.
Do it.
Because there's a lot of good comedy people in the movie.
Yeah.
Here we go, Krampus. Oh, internet!
Do you want me to tell you who's in this cast?
No.
Okay.
We're going to quiz you.
All right.
We're going to say a name, and you're going to have
Scott.
To...
Adam Scott!
We're going to say a name, you're going to tell us
Adam
if they're
Scott.
In the cast.
The hair. Okay, go ahead. I love
John
this quiz.
John Leguizamo.
Not in the cast.
Correct.
Oh my God, I was so
Toni
nervous.
Toni Collette
is in the cast.
Toni...
Shalhoub.
Danza.
Not in the cast. Not in the cast.
Trick okay. question. That's a what's one person? Toni Shalhoub Danza. He's not well known.
He is in the cast. He was one of the Dark Elves.
David Koechner.
Hyde Pierce.
That's his other middle name.
Oh, not in the cast.
We're tricky here.
You guys.
David Koechner is in the cast. Allison Tolman.
That's me.
Are you
Allison
in the cast?
I am in the cast.
Correct. You're
picks
correct.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been.
Ooh, that song should be about me. You're right. Yeah. And more songs about me, please.
You want the song about the lonely woman?
Maverick Flack.
What are you talking about? That's a happy song. Maverick. Yes.
Okay,
plays my
right.
kid.
That is the best fucking name in the world.
He is such a cool kid, man.
Well, his name's Maverick. Of course he is. Yeah.
But his last name is Flack.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Maverick Flack.
They had
really
to compete.
He's from New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
That's like when you get two opposing penalties on offense and defense; they cancel each other out. Maverick Flack.
Yeah, all right.
Well, you know.
I'm going really far down on the cast list just to see.
Well, that's how you're
going
to trick her.
A cast. I feel like.
Who plays the dark elf?
There are many dark elves.
Trick question!
And you I couldn't tell you.
All right, but which Affleck brother second. Is it?
All dark elves look
I
the same.
You,
Allison!
I'm sorry.
You can't say
a
that.
Dark elf racist. No,
my wife called the Target employees, the two black Target employees, racist because the Hanukkah stuff did not qualify for the holiday sale. Even
Ooh.
Though there were signs, and it was just like, I was just standing there like, I don't know what to do right now.
But is Jewish a race?
Yes.
Is that race?
You tell
oh.
them.
Okay.
Ashkenazi Jew. We did the DNA test.
Okay, it's, good. It's, all right, it's, listen. It's, I was asking. I wasn't pointing a finger.
But it was amazing to watch because the two employees were just like, yeah.
Yeah. When she left, did her rage
right.
burn for 8 days
right.
longer?
It did. It
okay,
did.
Good. I'm just curious.
They gave us the discount. And then when the manager left, the cashier high-fived Dory.
That's awesome. That is good stuff.
Did Dory take Myra as her last name? Or she's
no,
still
she's got a byline. She needs she's to
Shafir.
Keep that going.
Is it hyphenated Shafir Myra?
No. Shafir is
Shafir.
Shafir is
hyphen. Hyphens are...
Yeah, I'm like, you know...
I actually knew that. I
stick
don't know.
Stick with your name if mm-hmm. that's what you want to do, even though I'm very disappointed.
I told Lydia, do whatever you... I go, I don't care. You can take my name or don't take my name, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You should fucking take that name. Are you
I should
kidding
take
me?
Her last name.
Hurst?
I should take her last name. Hurst.
Oh, yeah.
I should take her last name.
You take that name.
That comes with gravitas, that name.
Chris Hurstwick.
If Dory's last name was Rockefeller, I'd take it.
But I think Hurstwick sounds more, even more grandiose.
Hurstwick?
I mean, you could.
Because a wick, like putting a wick at the end of a thing, makes it sound.
You're really right.
Yeah. Allison Tolwick.
Yes.
Starring in The Queen of Everything.
Okay. I'd watch that.
What's The Queen of Everything about?
Well, just me, like, just my regular life.
Yeah.
It's just documentary series.
Wait, this is coming from the person who said Eleanor Rigby should be about her.
Can you tell that I want everything to be about me?
If you're a comedy person, you have to be
you
that way.
You guys spot a theme here.
That's
kind of bitchy, kind of selfish.
Welcome to podcasting.
Are you doing live stuff at the moment?
I'm not.
Do you miss it?
At the moment. No, I do miss it a lot. A lot. I haven't done theater regularly in a while, but I had a podcast in Chicago that I did where we performed live. It was like a live once a month show that we did in front of a live audience.
And what's it called?
It's called City Life Supplement. It all exists on the internet, but is no longer being made. So that kind of got my, I got my live fix from that, but it's been a while now. So I'm
how many episodes did you guys do?
We did 3 seasons. So, gosh, I don't know.
That's 20, fantastic.
17, maybe. I don't know.
I think people will be very excited to hear that there is a full, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of improvised podcasts. I don't mean to suggest that there aren't out there, but I think that's very cool to hear.
No, this one was sketch. This was sketch. This was like all,
oh, never mind then.
Yeah, no, that's not very impressive.
Don't listen to it then.
I loved it. I was really proud of it. Yeah. It was my home, my kind of artistic home.
Do you use UCB stuff here in LA?
No, I don't. Mm-mm. I've thought about it, but again, I feel like I really want to get back into sketch writing because again, that's sort of like where my talents lie and where my heart is. Improv, again, I can do, but there's people who are so good at it that I'm kind of like, you take that.
Did you ever audition for SNL?
No.
Have you ever auditioned for a sketch TV show?
No.
Good. They're the worst auditions.
Oh, I'm sure.
Come in with 3 characters.
I have friends who have gotten to the point in the sort of comedy world in Chicago that they're going into audition for SNL, and they're just like, it's a racket, man. It's crazy.
It's gonna be horrifying,
process.
Right?
I can't even imagine.
I don't ever want to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to.
I don't want
to
do it.
Thank God.
I don't want
to
do it.
I mean, it is you know you have to go in with a couple of characters and you.
Yeah.
You basically just it's a very artificial environment where you almost probably feel like you're doing it alone.
Yes.
You need 2 characters?
Impressions.
I don't know for SNL. I just
my question is chubby curmudgeon, is that 1 character or 2 characters?
You've splintered it into a lot of
nailed
different.
It.
I'm wondering no, because I auditioned for Mad TV a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
in the 90s. And that was like 2 or 3 characters, and it was just it was really rough.
Yeah.
Because especially like waiting in the wait, being in the waiting room and hearing other people's sketch auditions, and you're just like, oh, there's that guy's loud character. Oh, there's that lady's neurotic Minnesota character. Mm-hmm. There's like, you see a lot of, and then you go, oh, mine aren't any better than those.
Yeah, like listening to that go on. Yeah. That was definitely part of like my training, I think, at Second City was I don't know if we really worked on characters so much because we did a lot of like stuff for our sketch shows, but they were like, it's probably a good idea to have some characters, like some solo work in your pocket that you can do, that you can, you know, for these auditions. And I didn't have that in my pocket. And I did have a sketch audition come up. I forgot about this for some, I don't even remember what the show was, but I went into like a casting office and had to audition for this sketch show. And I didn't have a bit, like I didn't have a solo bit. And they were like, oh, it's fine. You can do a sketch, like we'll read a sketch with you. So I like gave the script to the person off camera and read the sketch with them with like no rehearsal and like no. It was
they
terrible.
Totally nailed it, right?
It was rough, you guys. It was rough. It's like, this is not going well.
Yeah, cold reading of a sketch is not the best.
Yeah, so then I was like, I really need to have some solo stuff. I understood kind of the importance of that after that, but I still didn't do it because I'm lazy. Well, bitchy, selfish, lazy. Yeah!
But maybe that's not true because you're saying that up front. So maybe none of that's true.
Yeah, it's true. It's a trick.
It's
illusion.
All a big ruse. So when you really get to know, you're like, she's not that bitchy or selfish at all.
No, I like to set the bar really low. That's my forte.
I mean, what's your favorite type of thing to work on then? Is it? Do you like doing character stuff in film, or do you like doing TV stuff, or would your dream be like, I just want to, it'd be great to do like a sketch show.
Oh man. I think, I don't know that I would want to do a sketch show, just a sketch show, because I think it's nice to like develop a character and work on it and get to know it and spend some time with it. Which in like television is kind of best for that. I feel like you kind of, I don't know, but you can also get tired of a character, I guess, after a certain amount of time and not want to play it and be locked in, you know?
Are you listening, Kelsey Grammer?
Or,
20 years.
That wasn't me.
he's not listening to
work.
Yeah, no. You're right.
Survey says no.
And no one he knows is listening, and no one's going to tell him, and he's going to be fine.
Boy, well, real talk from Chris today.
Sorry, Matt. I'm really sorry.
Oh, God.
I have a better chance of talking loudly down the street in Los Angeles and him hearing me.
That you actually,
listening
that's 100% true. Walking down the streets of Beverly Hills.
Let's
over
open
here.
A window. Let's just open a window and see if we can get him to
yeah,
listen.
Yeah, the thing about Frasier is...
What was that over there?
Oh, hello.
He just walked in.
Hello, Matt.
Hi, Kelsey Graham.
It's really good to be here.
I like everything about you, except your personal
Matt.
Views on politics.
I listen to the podcast. Also, go Trump.
Yeah.
Ew.
I don't know. Is that
I don't know. He's probably Rubio, I would guess. Or Ted
really?
Cruz. He's crazy, so.
They're all crazy.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I hear Marco Rubio's name, I cannot get the Rubio Baja Grill jingle out of my head. Do you know it?
No.
Rubio's Baja Grill.
I don't know that either.
Maybe that's a local LA thing. Maybe. Boy, no one else in this room. Fuck you guys.
Why
it's a
you,
thing.
Did you dream this?
No. Is this real life?
Is this real life?
Are you here now? Are we here
I don't
now?
Think that's a thing.
No, I'm going to pull it up on the internet now because, just to show you guys.
Your phone doesn't work in here.
All that comes up is Hardwick After Dentist.
Oh my gosh, you found it so quick.
No jingle in sight.
Yeah, interesting.
So we've proven that there is in fact a place called Rubio's, but not that they have a jingle.
That's right, girl's jingle. I'm gonna find it. I don't care what you guys say.
Maybe it's just the song you sing in your head when you pass one. I have those.
No,
I do too.
Was,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mmm, Arby's.
I think it was, you know, when I think it was a I think they were radio spots.
Oh, man.
You might have to cut all this out, Katie. I can't find it. I'm lying. No, it's a real thing.
Sure it is, Chris. I don't think we have to cut this out.
Fucking mouth,
it's fun for you to imagine things.
No, I did not imagine.
Theater of the mind. Listen, everyone.
I know people.
This is the best kind of theater.
I know people listening who maybe were in the who lived in the Los Angeles area for a long time must remember Rubio's Baja Grill.
I feel like you had sang that before on the podcast, and someone, whoever our guest was, also knew it. And I just imagined that you guys both improvised it at the same. I was like, I got a couple of Wayne Brady's here. Like, that's what I was thinking.
That's my band name.
Couple of Wayne Brady's.
Yeah.
I'd see that band.
Disclaimer, there are no Wayne Brady's in. Are you trying to find it, Deb?
Yeah, of course can't you can't find it.
Everyone in the room looking.
There's a reason you can't find it, Deb.
Let me wake up the dog and get the dog on top of it, too.
My my Google Foo is very bad because I couldn't get it on the homepage using the...
What?
Google Foo.
What is that?
My skill at...
I'm good at that. I'm good at, like, putting together the words to find the thing.
You're good at a search string?
Yeah. Yeah, what? Yeah. I don't know why I'm really...
Well, why don't you brag about it, Allison?
I feel like it's a skill.
It is a good skill.
It's a good skill to have.
The other night I was trying to figure out why the Christmas lights weren't working, so I had Googled how to tell which Christmas light is out. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh, is it like four down the stream is the one that's out or whatever?
Four down the stream, one in the cream?
Yep, that's what I thought it would be.
Yipes.
But so I Googled it, and I took a screenshot of the other searches for how to tell, and the things that came up were how to tell if a girl likes you, how to tell if someone is lying, how to tell if you are pregnant.
Oh no!
Well, you are.
And I tweeted out and said, "I bet this is one panicked teenager."
Can you forward me that link, by the way? Sure. I'd love to know.
I think these are just all the stages. How to tell if a girl likes
right.
me? So he figured it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, she likes me. How to tell if someone's lying? She's on the pill.
She's like, yeah, yeah.
This is like a real human drama unfolding now.
Really I think we can start just pitching shows based on recommended searches.
I'm pretty sure that's how a lot of shows get made.
Oh my god, you're not wrong.
Like, I know it's about.
What is the Allison Tolman show? If you were pitching the Allison Tolman show, what is it?
Oh, man.
You must have thought about that at some point.
We can't afford to make it because that theme song is too much.
I've actually said I don't want to make, like, the Allison Tolman show. Like, I've actually said these words before because people are always asking me, like, you know, if you're a sketch writer, are you gonna write your own sitcom someday? And I'm like, yeah, I would like to do that, but I don't want to just, like, write the Allison Tolman show. Like, I want to wait and write about something that I think is, like...
Allison Tolman and Friends?
That sounds better to me.
The Allison takes on.
Allison takes on, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. So yeah,
not necessarily the Allison Tolman. No. I'm just going through all.
What if you work at a Chicago toll booth and you're like, I'm Tolman, and then
I like that a lot.
Yeah, and we'll work it out. Don't worry.
And then
really
and
good.
Then the running joke it's bigger
I'm a toll
on the inside.
Woman.
The running joke is. Did you know your name was yes? Like every episode,
you guys.
Come on,
yeah. And then we'd have like a different cast of characters come through. I do like that.
Yeah, that's the beauty
good.
Of that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, why isn't it Allison Toll Woman? Well, you got to be sexist, Allison.
I don't know. It's my dad's.
Yeah, it's definitely your dad's
fault.
My dad gave
it to
your dad
me.
Chose that.
I got a light giggle out of Katie, which is actually a big win. We can never. I mean, Katie is completely numb inside from listening to
podcasts. I think the only thing Katie actually like laughs at is hilarious Jew jokes.
I did laugh at your jokes.
Way to go, Levine.
Nicely done.
I had a conundrum here, which the two... Are you a sports fan at all?
A little bit. My boyfriend's a huge sports fan, so there's sports on in our house all of the time.
So I'm not... people tend to get annoyed when I say I'm not a sports fan, to which I always respond... The amount of times you have to hear me say I'm not a sports fan pale in comparison to how much I have to hear about sports in our culture. So, fuck you. But this will be for you guys. But you know, my mom is a huge fan of the Rich Eisen show. Mm-hmm. And so I said, oh, well, I'll go on and then, you know, you can come on with me because, because a bunch of my friends have been on. The Joel McHales of the world. I've had a bunch of friends go on. So I booked the show and I'm supposed to go on this Thursday. But it turns out my mom's a real estate agent, so she has an inspection that she can't get out of, so she can't go. So I did the pre-interview this morning, the Rich Eisen show, and they go, so what teams do you like? And I go, none of them? I go, I'm not really a sports person in my mind. They were like, oh. And I go, yeah, I did this because my mom loves Rich so much, and she's a huge sports fanatic, but now she
now
can't
she's
make
not
it.
Here.
So
I'm free Thursday.
I could come on and talk about bowling, which my dad was a bowler, or I could just maybe come on at a different time. And my mom, I call my mom, and I go, yeah, I don't know. I told them I could do the show anyway, and she was like, honey, are you sure you want to do that? Because people are going to be very mean to you on the internet. And I go,
she's right.
Yeah, if
she's
I get trolled by you. Sports people, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I got offers early on, like when Fargo was on, to come and like do like talk about sports on like be the celebrity on this sports show. And I was like, I don't want to do it. Like, I don't know enough about it. And I still don't know enough about it. But
you'll get there.
I could fake it.
Sure.
I pick like which sports teams I like. I went to Baylor, so mm-hmm. I'm now a Baylor fan. Yep. I mean, I, you know, because of loyalty and whatever. But I like the professional teams I like, I pick based on like if their players seem like they are nice to each other.
Oh, okay. So based on that, which
Sacramento
team are you
Kings.
Enjoying right now?
They're my favorite.
The Kings.
I know. I hear they're terrible, but they're my favorite.
There's also a lot of infighting over there, they're trying to push their coach out.
No. The team loves each other. The team loves each other.
What right. sport is
like
this?
That.
It's basketball.
This is basketball.
That's basketball.
God damn it. I'm sorry. I don't know anything about
it.
Wait, you meant the Sacramento Kings, right? Or were you thinking of the LA, the hockey Kings?
No, the Sacramento Kings.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know the name. I asked my boyfriend just the other day. So.
No, but I mean, there's two Kings.
I know.
Different sports. I've actually
never watched a hockey game, I don't think, ever.
Hockey Live is super fun to watch.
I would agree with that, actually. I've been to a couple of hockey games. Yeah. And they are. It is genuinely fun. The experience of seeing it live.
Oh yeah,
it is a mile away from watching it. I think you have to really love hockey to watch it on TV.
Yeah,
but being going live, you don't really even have to like it, and it's just exciting to see it.
They did this experiment in like the early 2000s where they put like a little glow on the puck on television, so like you could see it. It just looked like they were shooting a laser puck around. It was terrible.
Wow.
That sounds amazing. Tried it.
That sounds like a great idea.
Pull up a picture of that, Katie. I suppose you could search Google Fooit. glowing puck. Television glowing puck.
Laser puck.
Laser puck. I don't know.
That's
laser
the name of my band. Oh,
that's your band.
Dibs.
Okay, you can open for the two Dibs. Wayne Brady's. Or it just be the Wayne Brady's.
Yeah, it could be.
The Wayne Brady Bunch?
Couple of Wayne Brady's.
I like
couple
the Wayne two Brady's. Wayne Brady's.
The two Wayne Brady's.
You know, like the Ben Folds five. It's not five people. Or
it's also not Wayne Brady. There's not even actually one Wayne Brady in the two Wayne
Ben
Brady's.
Ben Folds five actually has a Ben Folds, though.
Is that it?
Like there's a little
glowing puck.
Yeah, and it would just glow in the tracer up top. Look at the one up top right, that red one.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And that's what it looked like watching watching professional
like
hockey.
Like they were shooting a little comet around.
Terrible idea. Like, look at that.
Looks like he's using heat vision to burn the goalie. he's burning a hole in the goalie so he can shoot a puck through him.
I would watch a lot of hockey how that worked.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd love to watch mutant hockey.
I feel like any sport, though, like live, I can probably watch. You know, like that I wouldn't watch on television.
Yeah.
What does your boyfriend do?
What does he do for his, like, life?
Yeah.
He works with computers.
Computers.
What a dork.
Programmer?
No, he's a security architect. He's in network security.
Oh,
Yeah. Isn't that a cool title?
That is really cool.
It's like Robert Hershevek on Shark Tank.
So you guys have all sorts of firewalls and proxy servers.
We do.
And
yeah. Like, although we have like a Kinect. Is that the thing?
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically like a camera in your house.
Yep. Watching me at all times.
I'm like, we're pretty careful about like passwords and things, and like you're pretty strict with me about that stuff, but we have a camera in our house. It's on all the time. Like, that seems counterintuitive.
We should probably stop saying our passwords out loud on the couch.
Exactly. When I type it in, I have to say every letter.
Kangaroo 94.
K-A-N-G.
Zeros for the O's.
Nines for the N's.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't have to. It's a password.
I don't understand how it works. It has to look like the letter.
Nah. It just has to sound like it. You got to think like a vanity plate.
You got to think like a vanity plate.
That's how you make passwords.
Well, you shouldn't think that way, because your password should contain punctuation in them, too. You need to do upper, lowercase punctuation.
You can put a lightning bolt on a vanity plate. A heart,
you can?
A dash, depending on which state you're in.
I think we're about a minute away from emoji password strings.
Oh, sure. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, probably.
I don't care.
Like, you have to remember how you felt when
you
did that password.
But then you have to also remember, like, what shade you gave your hands. Like, was it this yellow? Was it a little browner?
Well, that's why it's harder. They'd be harder to crack.
But also harder to remember.
It would be.
Oof.
Well, I think we're not going to solve
anything. Also, my parents have, like, a, you know, notebook that they have all their passwords written in, and it would be hard for them to write down all of those emojis. It's so secure.
Some of them might be racist in their books.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know.
I'm just trying to have a secure network. I just need to protect my Yelp account. I don't know why I'm doing that voice. I'm not suggesting
that's
your
parents. That sounds just like my mom.
Allison.
Just kidding. That's not at all what you sound like, Mom.
Where are your parents?
Where are they?
Yeah, what part of the country?
They are on their way, flying back to Texas at this very moment, actually. They came in for the premiere. They came in for the Krampus premiere.
How was the Krampus premiere?
It was so much fun. This is my first, like, big movie premiere, I guess. I went to the Gift premiere. That was pretty big. But my parents came into town, and, like, I told my parents they could come to my first, like, big movie premiere. And then I told my friend Elaine she could come to my first horror movie premiere. And then it happened to be the same one. So I had a whole, like, posse.
Oh, that's fun.
It was really a lot of fun.
Did they like the movie?
They did. And my mom's a scaredy cat, so...
Krampus looks...
Such a funny little laugh.
Krampus looks gremlins-y.
Exactly. Very much so.
That sort of fun, dark holiday.
Dark, exactly, yeah. Yeah, and kind of like throwback old school. So it's really, I really, really like it. But I love horror films. Like, no matter what, I love horror films.
He does too.
Yes.
I can talk about horror films all the live long day.
Beyonce and I watch the shit out of everything we can get. We just watched Goodnight Mommy last night. Have you seen it yet?
Yes, I loved it. Did you?
You
like
did?
It? Yes.
I didn't love it.
Okay.
Because.
Let's talk about It Follows after this.
Okay, I'll talk to you about that too.
All right.
So, because two very hyped movies.
Yes.
It Follows in.
Well, I saw Goodnight Mommy when it opened, before it was hyped. So that might be different.
I feel like the way that it is marketed, the story that you think going into it is not actually how it plays out.
That's the twist. There's twists.
But I feel like it's not a twist. First of all, I saw the twist within a minute.
I didn't. I didn't see the twist.
I saw the twist within a minute.
Would you consider yourself a good twist spotter?
I don't try to spot twists.
You watch movies like you're supposed to.
I watch movies like I'm supposed to. And I actually saw The Visit.
Uh-huh.
Is that the one with the grandparents? The Visit? And I guessed the twist, and I was so upset because I never guessed the twist because I'm not trying
but
to.
But you're going into an M. Night movie.
Yeah.
You're always trying to guess the twist.
And I really don't. I never have guessed the twist in one of his ever. And this one, I was like, oh, ew, I don't like the way this feels.
Might as well just leave.
I could leave now. So,
but
yeah.
But I also just the movie is pretty. It's very beautifully shot.
Beautiful. Yeah.
But I just feel like it's so arty and it just dragged. Mm. But I will say, there are so many creepy, skeevy things in it.
Yeah.
That are, but it wasn't quite the horror. It's not really a horror movie at all.
Yeah.
It's more of a psychological thriller. But it.
I agree.
But it just didn't really. I think I went into it with a different expectation.
Yeah. I totally get it. I have a friend that I watch horror movies. My boyfriend will not watch horror movies, so my friend Kelsey and I watch horror movies together. And we had been in a long dry spell where we had just seen like shitty horror movie after shitty horror movie, and then we went and saw Goodnight Mommy, and it was the best thing we'd seen in months.
It is gorgeous, and especially with all of the flood of, there is a particular flood of inexpensive horror movies in saturating the market right now, even more so than any other time, because it's. Because you can make horror movies for cheap, and they, you know, people just do it, and that's kind of annoying. But
sometimes they're great.
Sometimes they're great, but it's sort of like an improv show. When it's great, it's magical, and you it really stands out because so many.
That's exactly why I love horror movies, because I love finding the ones that are so good that you're like, you guys.
Oh, so It Follows. If you ask anyone about It Follows, the first thing they say, which I think is very telling, is they go, "The soundtrack is amazing."
The soundtrack is good. Solid
they
soundtrack.
No one I've talked to yet ever comments on the movie first. And it was a really fun movie. But they always say the soundtrack was amazing, which I think is not the what you want for. But I thought it was a great concept. I thought it looked amazing.
I loved the tone. It was scary. I loved this like
very
weird
different
world that I loved it. I hated the third act so much that it really took me out of it. I didn't like the way
you didn't like the way it sort of it played out.
Yeah, I didn't like the way things played out. It just didn't do it for me.
I didn't see it. I have no input.
I want to ask a bunch of questions, but then I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't seen it yet.
You guys should probably go see it.
Go see it, and then we'll all meet back here in a couple of days. We're going to pause this for a week. Cut back. I've just been soiling myself for 7 days. I need water.
Sorry, guys.
What else have you seen?
Chris,
that you
Comedy
like?
Central said you're fired because you've been in this room for a week and you've missed a week.
A deal's a deal.
A week of shows.
You're a man of your word.
I am.
A shit-covered man of your word.
They said body candy.
They said South Park does just fine. We don't need him.
Shut up. Don't you think I don't want them to figure that out? So what else have you seen then?
That's good. What have you seen recently? Well, The Babadook was amazing
last year. Babadook was fun, yeah.
Loved The Babadook. Have you seen The Taking of Deborah Logan? I liked that one.
I've seen so many blanking of and then someone's name. I feel like maybe we did see Taking of Deborah Logan.
This is the one that does a sort of twist on possession with dementia.
Seen that one or not?
If you did, it didn't make an impression on you, obviously.
What was the one where the people were in a town and then there were these like demons that were slowly attacking the town? Do you know what? Do you know which one I'm talking about? There's like a small town,
kind of campy, kind of a campy movie.
Yes,
yeah. And like things come out of the like sink. I don't remember.
God damn it. We've seen so many.
I've seen that they bleed together. I don't remember what that one's called.
Shudder is a great horror app, if you don't.
Oh, yeah?
Shudder is a highly...
You're going to say Shudder, the horror movie, which is about a camera that can kill people or something.
It is a highly... Let's make it.
No, it exists. I'm telling you, it's a real movie.
We should... Shudder is a highly curated horror app and a streaming service. But it's curated by these couple of guys, and they purposely like don't bring in a lot of like big ticket horror franchises. They just handpick, and it's basically by horror fans for horror fans. And so you know all of the categories are very specific.
I love it,
and it's got a really nice interface. It's great. It'll help you discover a lot of because a lot of the. You know, like Netflix and iTunes don't really categorize horror films very well.
Right.
So.
Yeah, they don't. They really don't. I end up finding horror films mostly by like going through on demand and watching previews of everything in that genre.
Have you thought about writing a horror film?
I haven't.
You should do that.
Maybe I should do that. I should do that.
If you're a horror fan and you're.
I love them. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. Maybe that'll be my big undertaking.
Just for the fuck of it. I mean, just for the fuck of it sometimes turns into like a, you know, then you could be making five of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great idea. I think that they're hard though. They're hard to do properly, you know?
They are, but I feel like if you really love the genre, and also I think people who have a sense of comedy.
Right.
It, like, that adds so much to a good horror movie.
I agree. I keep saying that in Krampus Press, is that, like, there's a way to do horror that has a lot of joy to it, I feel like. The Descent is super, super scary, yes, but I feel like also super joyful, because when these women start, like, kicking ass, you're just like, this is amazing! Like, it gives you such a high.
So how do you interpret the ending of that movie, and did you see the alternate ending?
I did.
And so how do you interpret it? I mean, I feel like at this time, The Descent has been out for a long time.
Yeah, the alternate ending is Ash wakes up and he slept too long, and the apocalypse happens.
I don't remember which is which now. In the ending and the alternate ending,
I think.
But
the
there's a sequel that's not
the alternate
not
ending.
Good.
She gets out, mm-hmm, I think, and she's like running on the road or something.
Oh right, yeah. That's right. But doesn't she get out anyway? I feel like her arm coming through the thing.
No, I think in the original ending, she's just in.
She stays with the daughter.
She's just there.
Oh no, I love the original ending.
Yeah,
because she's the last one. She's the last girl, and then she decides to stay down there.
Particularly hard movie for me to watch, being claustrophobic and all. I can't.
Oh God, I know, right? Oh, I love that movie. It's just one
maybe
of
you should
favorites.
Write The Descent 3.
I think I should.
Going deeper.
That's good. You know what you're good at? Subtitles. That's good. Yeah.
Starring two Wayne Bradys.
With a score by... I forgot the name of my band now.
You were... What was Allison's band's name?
Shit.
A Bunch of Wayne Bradys.
No, that was our band. I can't remember.
Fuck. Oh, it was Laser Puck.
Yes, it was.
Laser Puck.
Yeah.
No, I think it was exactly Laser Puck.
I think it was Laser Puck.
Yeah, something like exactly Laser like Laser Puck. Yeah, that's right. By them.
Boy, I just gave birth to a brain baby.
Really, like, that took us a while.
It was tougher than finally.
Clearly was worth it. Laser Puck, you guys. Just to revisit that.
Remember a minute ago?
It was good times.
I think it's important to reflect.
Remember when Matt married a Jewish lady
and then
she got all mad at that Target?
That was a hoot.
That was a hoot and a half, wasn't it?
It was. The deal was they put the sign out and it was $50 off $100 of holiday merchandise. Uh-huh. So we were shopping because we were having a party with latkes and Christmas cookies. Yeah.
So if you buy $100, you get $50 off?
Yeah.
That's kind of a great deal.
It was a great deal. It was Saturday only at Target.
If you're not a Jew.
Yeah.
It was, and
which
the
is not fair.
We hit like $128. We're high-fiving each other. Great job. We did it. We got enough Christmas stuff. We got enough Hanukkah stuff. We go up to the register. They scan the coupon. Does not apply. We're like, what doesn't apply here? And then the guy's going through the bag. He's like, oh, I don't think this does or this does. And he pulls out our Hanukkah tablecloth and a
dreidel, menorah.
Yeah, and like our Hanukkah. It was like
a rabbi. We bought a rabbi.
We're like, hang on a second. What do you mean? She's like, well, no, you got to have $100 worth of stuff. I was like, look at everything we bought. Nothing in here is not a holiday bullshit thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, no, I don't think this and this and this.
Dory was right to get mad.
Yeah. She's like, so you're telling me that the Hanukkah.
What
I said to them was, I was like, so you're saying it's okay except for the Jew shit? That's what I said. That's what I said out loud.
Did she interpret for you then?
No, she's like,
oh, so the Target symbol's not blue. You're just anti-blue.
She was like, and then she goes, she's like, wait a second. So the Hanukkah stuff is no, but the sign was right next to the Hanukkah stuff. And they're like, and he's like, yeah, I know, but I can't change the
because it's not the poor guy.
All
cash
I can
registers.
Do is cancel. No. I know, and I've been on that side of things before, mm-hmm, you know, and I was feeling bad. But then Dory was like, when she said, so this Hanukkah stuff doesn't apply, and then they said yes, and she was like, so you're racist. And both of the employees helping us were black, and that that moment for me was like,
did you get a little hotter on the collar?
I got a coffee.
Wait in the car.
Yeah, iced coffee.
This is weird.
But it was the guy behind us.
Happy Hanukkah to you, gentlemen.
The guy behind us was also buying a dreidel. So it was just like, what's happening?
How surreal.
I'm just sitting here
bizarre.
Going like, I didn't need to be here.
So who came out and gave you the discount?
After much back and forth discussion, the original manager finally did the override.
Mm-hmm.
But when he left,
rightfully so.
The girl at the register, she was like, "I'm gonna high five you because that was amazing." She's like, "When you said that was racist, I was like, yeah."
That's nice that she was on board with that.
Yeah, no, she was so sweet. She was the best. She was like the best. Like, I was even watching her as we were like getting closer in line. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, she's like interacting with everybody. She's having a great Saturday. Uh-huh. She's like,
or at least,
awesome.
You know, they could have at least owned the racism in the sign and said,
well,
Christmas.
What sucked about it was like,
to say holiday, it is a holiday.
Yeah.
Well, it was also I took a picture of the display in case you guys want to see what the display looked like.
I'm sure everyone listening to the podcast.
They want
to
see,
check my Twitter
feed.
It's on your Twitter feed.
It comes from Saturday when I tweeted that Target was racist. I said apparently
that was
Target
a good day.
I said apparently Target holiday discount doesn't apply to Hanukkah, and then I wrote, "Haven't these people been through enough?"
Yeah, when does the injustice end?
Because I was just like, "Well, whatever, I don't care. It's Target." But yeah, this was the sign, and that's the stuff.
Literally on the table.
I mean,
the entire picture
that
is blue.
That is. They really messed up.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah.
I mean,
you
just
probably saved them a lawsuit.
Just to sort of describe what's on this fucking picture. It says, today only, Saturday, $50 off when you spend $100 in holiday shop. There is a Christmas tree on the picture. However, it's very clear that it says holiday. Text Mary to Target, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and that's how you get the discount code. Yep.
Snacks.
Snacks. Snacks?
Well, I'm trying.
Well, it just says it tells you the things that aren't
food
allowed.
Yep.
So, food was one of the things.
The sign is literally surrounded by
the mensch on a bench.
Mensch on a bench. There's a Jewish guy.
Mensch on
a
bench is
a
thing.
Yeah.
Like
that came
on
from
a
Shark
shelf.
Tank.
Mensch on a bench. There's a rabbi there. Philips menorah, warm white LED glow.
Yeah. Yeah.
A bunch of. A bunch of stars of David.
Yeah.
All blue. This is fucking comical.
Yeah, no, that's...
Oh, my God.
That is poorly placed.
That is ridiculous.
But that was...
Target,
so that was
what
you know what?
Doing,
maybe before you got there, some other Jews came in and they, took down the Christmas display and they put all that stuff on the table with the sign.
Long story longer. When the receipt finally printed out, I was like, give me the receipt. I got to figure out why this coupon didn't work. Because the computer had to go categorize
the computer
things
was racist. Yeah.
The computer was being very racist. And I looked, and of the stuff that was in actually seasonal garden seemed to be the section where all the holiday stuff was coming from that the discount would have applied to. Mm-hmm. And we only bought $88 worth of that stuff.
Oh, snap.
So what happened was I believe we got these tablecloth right down here and these trays. Mm-hmm. Those were in that section, but those came from housewares. But we didn't know that as shoppers of Target.
No.
So, you know, long story short.
You guys were in the right.
They just had they had a shitty display. I mean, the display is beautiful, but poorly executed on their part.
Poorly executed.
But they did the right thing and gave you the discount.
Much embarrassment. I was like, oh god,
after Dory went all Jewish mom on him.
I was telling her, I was like, I could never have done that for that long. She's like, I know, you would have paid for everything full price. I was like, yep, that's exactly what I would have done.
I don't know if I would have stuck with it. That's,
yeah,
that's
well
admirable
it got
that
to
she
be
did.
Like I was like, listen, I know I haven't been writing since May, but we don't need to be
honey,
arguing over $50
we're gonna
right
be
now.
Okay.
You just
no,
sold
it's
a
the
book.
Principle of the idea. It's
it is
a principle of the idea. Those are all holiday things. They
yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was
the thing that they.
But
yeah,
it
I
was.
Agree.
It
agree.
Was. A, it was. It was really a fun time.
What are holidays like for you?
Well, Thanksgiving's our big holiday in my family. So Thanksgiving, I go back to Texas and eat
wait.
With
so you were just
people.
In Texas, then you drag your parents out here.
I know. I'm ugh. Terrible.
How, was the
how dare you do a movie that came
Allison,
out of the holidays?
Allison, we're tired.
your mom.
It's
oh.
my mom. Hey,
Mrs.
Tolan. My mom's here. Yeah, no, I was in Texas, and they basically, everybody left the house, and then they immediately got on a flight and came to me.
I'm
what?
Still having an Allison. We're tired. You're going to go to this premiere, you're going to shut your mouth, Mom.
Put on some lipstick.
It'd be best if we stayed here.
Can't we just go to Target and watch Jews try to buy things at a discount?
That's how we spend Christmas.
It's called a Texas Tuesday.
Part of Texas.
Houston.
Houston. Oh, yeah. Nice. It was just in Houston.
No, you weren't.
I was.
All right.
Good job.
Houston, Dallas, Austin a couple months ago.
Yeah. I lived in Dallas for a while, too.
Yeah. Are Houston zoning laws any different? There used to not be zoning laws. And so, like, I say that because...
Chris has a huge interest in comptroller
listen,
of Houston.
Listen. The reason that I bring that up is because it was very weird seeing, like, a skyscraper next to a small...
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
There were no zoning law. I thought, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I thought when I was there performing 10 years ago, I was like, why is that building next to that? And why is that thing over there? And like, yeah. Oh, there's no zoning law.
So like the house in Up, where it's like.
Yeah, you can just build anything next to anything. But I don't know if it's still.
I don't know. I don't know.
They do have a rule every fourth building is a strip club.
Is that true? Are there a lot of strip
clubs? That's for all of Texas. No, I don't know.
Houston has a high.
Does it have a lot of? It's a big city.
Not as high as Portland, but Houston's up there.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of the stripping clubs.
You don't have to go in them to know they exist. You just drive by them.
I just don't see the match.
What good does that do to you? I don't understand.
It saves you a lot of money and sexual frustration.
Yay! I just go up and stuff dollars into people's pants in life.
Well, I'm sure that's appreciated.
I tell people your joke all the time about strip clubs and being super hungry and paying. It's like Chris's joke. Forgive me if I do it wrong, but you're like talking about strip clubs and how ridiculous it is that you're just paying money to have your face shoved in boobs. It's like if you're super hungry and you go to the deli and you just hand the guy money just so you can press your face up against the counter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's a really
old
joke.
It's a weird concept.
It's a great joke. But there was another, I think of it all the time.
There was another one recently of just like basically when guys get all amped up about strip clubs, we're like, woo, let's go to the strip club. You're basically just calling your friends and going, hey, guys, you want to go get boners together? Let's go pay to get boners. Let's go give all of our money to get boners together. And then we'll just lock eyes while we get boners together. Like, it's such a weird...
Why are you locking eyes with your friends while that's happening?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you might be doing it wrong, but I'm not entirely sure.
There's a reason you don't like strip clubs, and that's it.
You might be doing it incorrectly.
You know strip clubs where you watch guys come in their pants?
No.
No, that's not what you do.
You're doing it wrong.
What?
I think you're doing it wrong. Maybe
I don't
you
know.
Could Google that.
I wonder what that Google.
Just Google it.
What that Google
search
is.
Would you use?
How do you?
I don't know.
Go to a strip club. How do you?
Am I doing it right?
How do you use
strip clubs?
Lock eyes.
What's the best way to patronize this establishment?
Yeah. Like strip club etiquette.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
There probably is a lot of
blog
etiquette.
Posts about that.
Now I want to see what the recommended. Let's see what the recommended. Oh, what'd you find, Katie?
On Vice, strippers explain strip club.
Oh, Vice doing the. Yes,
that was like the sound an audience makes when something
Lord's
sweet
work.
Happens. Like,
Of course not. You'll get arrested.
Are you over 18? Yes.
Be nice, not creepy.
Uh huh. Yep.
Wear deodorant.
That's a big yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Pay for fetish play.
All right.
What does that mean?
Like, if you wanted to, like,
don't come in your pants.
Don't. Oh,
my
favorite.
God.
That was my favorite Nickelodeon show. Don't come in your pants.
Did you make that website real fast?
That was my favorite Elton John and Kiki D song.
Don't come in my pants.
I couldn't if I tried. What's that say?
Don't ask them to marry you.
But what if you're in love with a stripper?
What if you fall in love?
Oh, I'm sure there's many.
I'm in love with a stripper.
And most of them probably were recorded in Atlanta.
Is it okay to make a personal connection?
Yeah, sure.
But don't ask them to marry you.
Oh, God, we watched this crazy show on Investigation Discovery the other day called, what was it called, like Snapped or, it's basically one of those shows where...
Snapped is the one where women kill their husbands.
Yeah.
Well, it was something like that, but it wasn't Snapped, but it was where it's where someone basically just in a heated moment, they were passion crimes.
Oh, okay.
Usually from people who were married, but it was, I don't think it was Snapped.
So what does that end up, what does a passion crime get you, second degree?
I think it can get you first. Yeah, it can get you manslaughter. It can get you second degree. Mm-hmm.
You know a lot about this. Are you a murderer?
No, he just watches.
No. Why are you asking?
Good answer.
Do you enjoy your water?
Oh God! Poisoned. Worth it.
Oh no, that one's marked antidote. I mean, Arrowhead. But it, it This guy, it was a professor, and he was a professor at Tufts University.
Medford, Mass. What up?
And he had been with his wife since they were high school sweethearts, and then they had been together like 20 years.
Oh, well, if you stop watching there, it's a beautiful story.
And he... the first 10 minutes of any...
The music's kind of spooky, but the story's good.
Love is in the air.
So he goes to a bar to get a drink after work one day. Oh, and his wife is a nurse and she's working nights.
Uh-huh.
And they basically had no intimacy in their relationship anymore. And this like, you know, 21-year-old woman comes up and starts talking to him and then kind of reveals halfway through, by the way... For $50, you can totally have sex with me. And this was in the early 80s.
Sure.
So I don't know what that says about the economics of that. But
that same sexing goes for the same now because she's old.
Inflation. Oh, you say? There's a... Her rate dropped. She's dead because
a passion crime.
He killed her. Yeah, it was unbelievable because he paid her and they had sex.
Great.
And he kind of instantly fell in love with her because... He was just having a midlife crisis thing, and it was all the physical stuff that he wasn't engaged in.
All right, you turn it off there, and it's kind of like a Duplass Brothers movie.
So his wife finds out about it because, like, and this woman, he falls in love with her, and she just sees him as basically an ATM. So every time they hang out, she's like, okay, well, that'll be $100. And he's like, okay. And so... Like a fucking moron, he's using his credit card, so his wife just very obviously is like, where are these thousands of dollars of charges coming from?
And it's the 80s, so she's probably taking a manual imprint.
So she doesn't... She's got the knuckle buster that shook, shook. Okay, this pink copy's for you.
Sign here.
Sign here. Initial here.
We gotta press hard.
His wife finds out, and she doesn't leave him. She is like, well, we've been together for so long. So he basically, it just gets more and more and more and more intense.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, he takes this woman on a trip.
To?
It's speaking engagement. First of all, he loses his job. Oh, that's what happens. He starts supplementing, paying her by hiring her as a research assistant at the college.
Nice.
And then so the higher-ups of the college kind of figure out, like, why is this research assistant making thousands of dollars?
Mm-hmm.
So then he gets fired for embezzlement.
Oh, boy.
Loses his job.
Oh.
But then gets another opportunity in another city.
Okay.
So he – and at this point, he's already come clean with his wife. She's totally forgiven him.
But he's still cheating on her.
He's still cheating on her.
Okay.
So he goes on a trip for a speaking engagement, takes the girl with him as his assistant.
Mm-hmm.
As you do.
When they get there, he thinks the trip is only going to cost $1,000, and she's like, no, it's $1,000 a day. So then it becomes $3,000, and he can't pay it.
Mm-hmm.
So then she shows up at his house one night with a sledgehammer to try to get him to pay.
That is ballsy.
I guess hits him on the head or something, and then his story is that he wrestles the hammer away from her and then beats her to death. And then disposes of her body in a garbage dumpster somewhere that they never find.
Well, that's where the crime gets a little suspicious.
So, that idea of...
Oh, they never found the body?
They never found the body,
well,
but he admitted to killing her.
He probably made that up.
Maybe.
The whole thing.
Maybe he made it up.
But it was really fucked up, where it's like he just instantly fell in love with her.
Yeah.
But he couldn't make the distinction of, like... She's just charging you more and more each time.
That's so sad.
So that was branching off that don't ask them to marry you.
Don't fall in love instantly.
Don't mistake lust for love.
No. That is a sad story.
Or services for love.
Yes.
It's not even lust.
Business transactions is what that is.
Every time you swipe my card,
I love you.
Shink, shink.
Well, now you just use Square.
Exactly.
They got 1.3%.
They all have a Square. 1.3%, is that right?
Isn't that what it is?
I don't know.
I feel like that's what it is.
That's what Square gets every time you run the card?
I believe so.
Well, that's not a bad deal for them.
No,
not at all. Of course, that's what all these companies do. They all take a little
idea.
Slice
making
of something.
Some money off of that.
Yeah.
Is Krampus out now?
It opens on the 4th, on Friday.
Does
When is this airing? Ask me again.
Friday?
Yeah.
It opens today.
Yes, it does.
Does Adam Scott form a sexual relationship with the Krampus?
And listen, then he can't. No spoilers. Keep and going.
And then every time he hands out with Krampus, Krampus is like, that'll be $50, please.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be $50, please, American. That'll be 200 Deutschmark. Bitte?
That's our whole film now. That's it. You nailed it.
Es tut mir leid. That will be 100 Deutschmark. Bitte?
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad. No, Krampus is feeling very generous. Krampus, tell Target not to give discount to Jews.
Classic Krampus.
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
Oh, the way that guy hates Jews in retail is crazy.
I mean,
Krampus is really going all out this year to ruin people's experience.
This is going to be our
level.
Best worst year ever.
Go put the sign on the Hanukkah table. That will confuse them. Oh, Krampus, you've done it again.
If we put some home goods in here instead of seasonal garden.
More blue.
The Jews can't resist a discount.
Krampus. Anyway, so that's the plot of Krampus.
That's the whole
definitely
plot.
Can't wait to see it.
And then they go to
Opens
a strip club.
Opens today. I'm very excited about it.
Strip club.
Adam's like, Krampus, do you want to go get boners
with
together?
With your friend while you get the bonus together.
Look me in the eye.
As you're staring into Chad's eyes, imagine the flow of blood filling his flimp penis as...
Flimp.
So anyway, Krampus comes...
Krampus!
Krampus
Man,
is,
we've really gone off the rails and I like it a lot.
What are you talking about? This is how every podcast
goes. I feel like now I want Krampus to host the entire podcast in that voice.
Like, Alison Tolman is here today.
Exactly.
We're going to ruin your Christmas. Dragging your
He's
parents
terrifying.
Across the country.
This voice is more terrifying maybe than the actual visual Krampus in our film.
I heard your mother is tired. Well, she has a long flight coming. Sorry, I'm Krampus.
And he walks out. And says, no peanuts.
Sorry, I'm Krampus.
She has a middle seat in between two large gentlemen who are sharing schematics the entire time.
But your father has been bumped to first.
Wait, why does he like my dad and not my mom?
No, it's just your mother's having a bad time.
Oh, yeah.
He's just trying to create disharmony in the marriage.
What a dick.
He's Krampus.
He's
Krampus.
The worst.
You know, Krampus is a legendary movie. Legendary owns Nerdist. I should have pitched this voice to Thomas Tull when this movie was being developed.
You really should have.
Too late?
It's not too late for you to, like, just go in and record this. Like, just this voice. Like, they can just play the movie for you.
We'll just have a, you know, instead of a director's commentary track, you'll
exactly.
have one of those, but also you'll have the Krampus audio track.
The Nerdist Krampus track. Where you just talk over, because his mouth doesn't really move, so we won't know. Yes, we Krampus. Now I want that shirt. Thanks.
We knew somebody at the company that
That should have been a shirt.
Yes, we Krampus. Oh, man.
Should it really have been a shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You wouldn't buy that shirt? You'd buy that shirt.
Krampus
is still a thing, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's always going
to
be a thing.
You're right. We need to make this quick.
Have you come up against a lot of... You probably come up... Are people saying, like, what is Krampus in America?
Yes. I mean, today at the junket, 90,000 people have said that. But yes, in general, people don't know who Krampus is.
What's your stock answer?
My stock answer is that he is... sort of like from ancient German folklore, he's like the opposite of Santa Claus. He's like the dark Saint Nicholas who comes if you're bad.
I mean, he has Kramp in the name. That's pretty.
Yeah. I mean, he's the mensch on a bench to the elf on a shelf. Is that how that works?
Yeah, he's like an extreme elf on a shelf. Who, like, if you lose your holiday spirit, you're gonna be real sorry. He's gonna fuck you up.
Where else can people see you, Alison Tolman?
Just, like, in my house and stuff.
on your Kinect.
Yeah, on my Kinect, apparently.
You can hack Allison's Kinect.
Damn
and see
it.
On the couch shouting out their passwords.
I'm putting there's a blocky thing. I'm going to put that on there.
Do it.
What am I doing? I'm doing a show, an Amazon show called Mad Dogs, which I did a couple episodes of. And I'm shooting a pilot next week in Pittsburgh for ABC.
Nice!
I know, I'm excited. Have you guys been to Pittsburgh? You know,
yeah, I've been to Pittsburgh.
Yeah? I've been there now once for like 36 hours, and it seemed pretty good.
Oh, it's a great town.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
Last time I was there, you could still smoke in some bars, so.
What?
Have
what?
A great time.
That's wow. not a reason did to go
read,
to a place.
Did you read the thing I read this morning that Mary-Kate Olsen's wedding, the reception, it was bowls of cigarettes,
well, and her husband's
all
French,
the guests
right?
just smoked and smoked. Like, that
yeah,
was the write-up.
Yeah, he's French. That, yeah, that makes sense.
Love it.
I've That's eaten classy. All the cigarettes for your holiday wedding.
All you have left is menthol. Oh, I'm Krampus.
No cigarettes, Mary-Kate Olsen. You got it, dude.
No?
No, I love
Krampus
it.
Krampus doing
no, no.
Yeah, no,
Full House
beautiful.
Reference?
Michelle from Full House.
It was beautiful.
That's not...
No.
How okay. rude. Yeah, that's another one.
Stephanie.
Yeah, Full House, Tan. Man. It's all filed away back there.
It's in there somewhere.
For when you need it.
It's all... Which is never.
Never. No.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is a nice town. I think you'll have fun there.
I'm excited. Yeah.
How was Fargo?
How was, like, shooting it?
Yeah.
Cold. It was good, though. I loved it. We were in Calgary, which is...
Jeez.
Super cold.
Yeah.
But also really sunny, like, weirdly sunny. So it's, like, negative 30, but beautiful outside, which helps. Yeah, I loved it. I really liked Calgary a lot.
What's your pilot about, can you say?
I can. It's called Downward Dog. It's about a woman and her dog. I play the woman. And it's kind of like a talking head show, but the dog is the only one who talks to the audience, which just sounds like such an absurd concept. And it is,
oh,
but
wait,
it's really
I know
funny.
This show.
Yeah.
This is a legendary show.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah,
right.
yeah.
Yeah, I do know this.
So yeah, it's like a weird take on that. And the dog is kind of like total first world problems. Like, he's just kind of a white person. Just really like... struggling with just his life. So yeah, it's I'm excited.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck with that.
You real funny, Allison Tolman.
Oh,
you
guys. Y'all better stop it.
I hope to see you more.
Come on, y'all.
No. Come on, guys.
You guys, come on.
Guys,
stop it.
More. Seriously.
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 Keep it up.
Don't you fucking stop. I'm going to tell you to stop, but I want you to keep it. You just keep
doing this with my hands. Ooh.
Oh, that was fun. That was a new noise.
Guys, we just got invaded.
Heard. I was going to say, that was like an alien noise, right?
Yeah. We're
that gonna, was like a laser gun noise. No, like a laser puck.
There's a hockey game happening.
So. We're all going to get turned into liquid food for a race of slug people.
Into Why it. Would that upset me?
Into it. Well, I hope that race knows that their holidays will not be recognized by the Target Corporation. Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Oh, Matt doing the dismount. I'll allow it. The end.
The end.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Are you tired of dating assholes? Do you want a Prince Charming? If so, we're filming a reality show. Sign up here.
12 American women are flown over to the UK for a bachelor-style reality dating show.
There are so many questions about a show like this because it's so odd.
These women have been told that they were going to be dating the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry.
What? Y'all playing with me, right?
You can binge The Bachelor of Buckingham Palace exclusively on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.